I was just going to ask you, there does seem to be a running theme in the book of all the sightings and so on, especially bearing in mind it's during times of conflict that the UFOs or the sightings, they never seem to engage. They're never aggressive, or they're never sort of retaliating, even though they're quite often shot at, and whoever sees them, whether it's you mentioned the Battle of Los Angeles or any of the sort of the sightings, they're not aggressive in any way, shape or form.
We have there's just one incident in the Gulf War where, and there was a story that just kept coming back to us. I mean, like, you know, when we finally whittled down the number of stories, I mean, there's 70 separate episodes in the book, and we probably had about 200 we could have put in, and we kind of kept paring them down. And there were four or five that just were, I can't describe them any better than just saying they were just too good not to include. Mm-hmm. And one of them was this story that kept coming back to us from a source in Russia that had been written on the net and had appeared in Pravda and places like that, where four F-16s were on a bombing mission to Baghdad early one morning during the first Gulf War, and they were told that there was a UFO in the area and or an unidentified aircraft, and of course they thought it was probably an Iraqi aircraft. One of them peeled off to see what this thing was, and it turned out to be a saucer-shaped aircraft, which fired at it, and then the F-16 fired back and shot it down, and this thing crashed in the Saudi Arabian desert, and this Russian military attaché was one of the first people on the scene, along with some Saudi Arabian civilians, and they actually got to see this thing before the U.S. military showed up and exploded everyone out of the area, and as the story goes, they carted this thing up and brought it back to the United States. But, you know, other than that, and a couple instances where in Korea where there were reports that when infantrymen shot at a UFO, the UFO kind of sent a ray back their way, this kind of ray that made everyone sick. And then there's a story, we start off the book with a story where Alexander the Great...
It's way back in...
Way back when, yeah, he was about to ford a river in eastern Persia, and he was you know, on his conquest of the known world, and these UFOs came out of the blue and kind of scared his troops and his war elephants and cavalry to the point where they wouldn't cross the river. But as you say, of all the instances in the book that we cover... There's only, I think, two or three in which the UFOs show any kind of aggression at all. For the vast majority of them is that they are just there. They are just observing us as we go about, you know, the process of killing each other in war. And that again, just brings me back to this point where, you know, if they were time travelers from our own future, it's unlikely that they would fire on us unless for some reason they felt like they had to. So it also... I like that explanation because it means we actually have a future, you know, that we actually have a future for people to come back from. So, but you're right. For the most part, for the vast majority of the instances, the UFOs are just, you know, they're very, very passive.
Yeah, there just doesn't seem to be any kind of not aggression so much, but I suppose retaliation would be the word I would personally use. Considering, like you say, understandably, I suppose under the circumstances, the people who are coming into contact with them are in a situation of conflict, are at war, and they're engaging in something which they don't know what it is. If they open fire on it, they're not getting shot back at.
Right. I mean, there's one instance that we have in the book, which, you know, goes right to that point exactly, is in 1952, on two successive weekends in August of 1952, UFOs showed up over Washington, D.C. In fact, they buzzed the Capitol building. They buzzed the White House. Lots of people saw them on the ground. Lots of pilots saw them in the air. And it got to the point where, you know, 1952, you're in the Cold War and things are, you know, really kind of heating up as far as the Russians are concerned. So it got to the point where Harry Truman actually issued an order. It was a secret order, but it leaked out very quickly to all U.S. military pilots that if you come upon a UFO and you can't, this was a quote, if you can't talk it down, then shoot it down. And no one ever figured out how you could talk down a UFO. But when that word of that got out, so many people called the Pentagon and the White House concerned that if we start shooting at these things and they start shooting back, well, it's going to be War of the Worlds all over again, let's face it. And so many people called Washington on those weekends when this story came out. They jammed up the White House switchboards and the Pentagon switchboards to the extent that no calls could go in or out. And that's when the CIA actually got involved in the whole UFO controversy. And what they did was that they made the military basically put out this program where anyone who talked about UFOs was going to be the object of ridicule, because they were afraid that the Russians were going to be, you know, get this idea where if we could recreate a UFO sighting over Washington and jam up the Pentagon's phone lines and the White House phone lines, we will stop their communication, and, you know, that would be a great advantage for the Russians to basically win a war against the United States. So it was from that point on that the CIA got involved in this thing, and they've been in the process, they and the military together have been in the process of covering these things up, covering the whole UFO controversy up. But just get back to my basic premise is UFOs are always passive, but just think of what it would be like if they weren't. Suppose if we started firing them and they started firing back. Obviously, they're of a technology higher than ours, and it could be just catastrophic consequences. So it's a good thing we don't fire at them. Good thing they don't fire back.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Well, listen, Mac, it's been, as always, a pleasure talking to you. It really is a fascinating, fascinating read. I do believe the website's name is quite... cunningly, UFOsinwartime.com. Am I correct,
Sam? That's the website we did for the book itself, UFOsinwartime.com. There's a lot of information there about how we put the book together, and then people can just go to MacMaloney.com too. Both websites will give you information on how to order the book. The book is at every bookstore in the United States, but it's easily ordered online from Amazon.com and other places.
Sure, it's available. It's readily available in the usual outlets. Wow, it really is a fascinating, fascinating read. And as always, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, sir. And I mean, just lastly, is it obviously you're very engaged in the subject matter, and the fact that you're primarily known for fiction work. Is it something you're likely to revisit again, or are you done now with the whole sort of UFO? In wartime, realistically?
I don't know. That's a question that, you know, I've been asked before. I can tell you that writing a nonfiction book takes about 5 to 10 times more work than a fiction book, but I found that out almost too late. I was already in the middle of it before I realized how much work is involved in one. But it's also a lot of fun to do, and it's interesting. So a lot of that really depends on my publisher, and, you know, I have to go down to New York sometime pretty soon and sit down and talk to them about, you know, where we go next. But if the question is, do I want to do another UFO book, I would. You know, I really would, because it's just a fascinating subject. A lot of people like it, and I like writing about it.
Okay, so watch this space, I suppose. But in the meantime, UFOs in wartime, fascinating stuff indeed. And, well worth a read, in my opinion, anyway. It's been a pleasure, Mac, as always. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. And thank you, and I hope to speak to you very, very soon.
Okay, will do. Thanks very much.
Okay, take care.
Bye.